Polar bears, along with pandas and tigers, rank high on the beloved species at risk list. Experts estimate that their numbers are down to 22,000, and with Arctic ice sheets melting at an alarmingly fast rate, some think that they could be extinct in the wild by the end of the century. Last month, conservationist and artist Richard Ellis was on the show to talk about his book, On Thin Ice, The Changing World of the Polar Bear, and we thought we would play that for you again today. I start off by quoting a part of his book where he writes, "The polar bear is a walking nose in a white fur coat," and I asked him, "How powerful is their sense of smell?"
They probably have the best sense of smell of any animal on Earth. They can smell a seal, a live seal, through 3 feet of ice, and that's the way they make their living, finding seals in the ice. They can also smell, say, a dead whale carcass 20 miles away, but on the other hand, you could probably smell a dead whale carcass 20 miles away.
Is it true that they hide their black noses when they're creeping up on seals?
No. That isn't, because it would be really hard to creep up on anything with one hand over your nose.
Well, I guess they could put some snow on it. But they need that because they are really working in desolate areas. So they're looking for food in places where it's really hard to find food.
But they are well adapted to find food in that barren wasteland that we call the Arctic. They are, in a sense, designed to live up there.
And their diet is mostly mammals?
Their diet is actually mostly seals, and the part of the seal that they eat the most of is the fat. And they do that because they, the polar bears, have to put on a layer of fat to insulate themselves against the cold air, the cold water, and the snow. But they also need to sustain themselves on the accumulated fat that they put on because food is so hard to find up there.
Other bears do that before they go and hibernate.
But polar bears don't. Polar bears don't hibernate. The females den up sometimes for 6 or 8 months at a time, during which time they do not eat at all. And so therefore they really need these fat stores to sustain them.
Would a polar bear ever make an unprovoked attack on a human?
Might. But it's very, very rare. Polar bears are the predominant predators in their environment and are therefore not afraid of anything. And it's clear from people's association with polar bears that the bears aren't afraid of anything.
Now, you've written books about whales, squids, sharks, tuna, now polar bears. All the others live in the water.
Well, polar bears spend a lot of time.
They live off of the water. Do they do a lot of swimming?
They're very good swimmers. They're very good long-distance swimmers. They're not very fast swimmers, but they can swim for a great length of time. The trouble is if they're swimming from ice floe to ice floe looking for something to eat, if they get to a place where there are no ice floes, they can swim and swim and swim until they drown.
Mm-hmm. But my image of them is of them walking across ice. I guess that is only half of what they do. How far can they walk?
They can walk as long as there's ice to walk on. Polar bears have been known to cover 100,000 miles in their lifetime. The problem, of course, that polar bears have is the ice is disappearing. And this is the reason they find themselves in the water more often than not, because the polar ice cap is diminishing.
Should I assume they don't have a territory if they're covering such a wide range?
They have essentially, they're not territorial animals. They just keep moving. Polar bear populations in the various countries in which surround the Arctic Ocean are fairly stabilized. In other words, bears don't wander from Greenland to Alaska, although they probably can. But all these populations are diminishing.
And the pictures I've seen are usually of one single polar bear. Are they solitary, or do they ever move in packs?
They never move in packs, as far as we know. There were reports in the 16th, 17th centuries when the first explorers went north of large numbers of polar bears. The only time they ever congregate in large numbers is at Hudson Bay, on the western shore of Hudson Bay, when they're getting ready to move out onto the ice, and another area rarely visited by human beings called Wrangel Island, which is north of the Bering Strait, and there people can see several dozen bears at one time.
What do they typically weigh, and how do they avoid falling through thin ice?
They don't avoid falling through thin ice. If they They can spread themselves out and spread eagle so they can walk on the ice. But if it's thin enough, then they have to swim. The largest male polar bear ever weighed over a ton. The largest female polar bear weighs about 800 pounds. And there is an enormous difference in the appearance and the size of male and female polar bears.
So you can spot them very easily.
Well, as long as you have something else to compare it to. If you just see a lone bear out on the ice, it's hard to tell what it is.
Now, I'm assuming that they have white fur because that makes them almost invisible in their environment. But isn't their skin black?
Sure it is, but you don't see their skin except the nose and the lips and the tongue are black. But you really don't see that. On the other hand, it's not necessarily the correct terminology to say they are white because they live in the snow. The evolution doesn't really work that way. They didn't turn white and then suddenly find themselves able find things.
No, I understand, but I would have thought that the ones who were white would be more effective as hunters, and so through the evolutionary process, they're
probably
the ones who survived.
And therein lies their problem nowadays. If the ice disappears and they have to go somewhere else, these white bears are going to stand out on the tundra.
Now, we have taken deer from endangered areas and moved them elsewhere. Could we do that with bears? Could these polar bears be moved to the Antarctic?
I'm sure they could, if you didn't mind a lot of penguin lovers suddenly showing up and parading the streets saying, save our penguins. It's not really a good idea, and it really wouldn't work at all well. First of all, the normal fare of the polar bear is seals, not penguins. And while they could probably eat penguins, they probably wouldn't. And of course, they would destroy penguin colonies if they ever got there. But basically, it's always a very, very bad idea to move animals, even if you think you're saving them.
What are their maternity dens like, you mentioned?
The females dig a den in the snow, and of course they need snow to do that. They dig a den, and then they remain in that den, not eating anything, for as much as 6 to 8 months. And this is one of the reasons they need all this layer of fat.
Bringing up their cubs at this time?
Sure they are. They give birth to usually two cubs, which were born the size of a rabbit, and 3 months later, the female digs out of the den and starts hunting almost immediately to feed these cubs. They need the ice, they need the seals, and they must have food. Otherwise, they will starve.
My guest is Richard Ellis, whose latest book is called On Thin Ice, The Changing World of the Polar Bear. It's published by Knopp. You include hundreds of accounts of Europeans hunting polar bears as far back as the 11th century. Have they been considered a trophy animal?
Of course they are. Most people, when people first went north and saw these ghostly white bears, they were not used to this at all, and they saw them as kind of supernatural animals because the bears they'd been used to were all black or brown, and suddenly there are these big white ghostly bears. Of course, people having nothing better to do with themselves shot them. And they shot them repeatedly, not the same bear, but they shot every bear they saw. And in fact, early explorers were responsible for a great drop in the populations of polar bears, because polar bears mostly don't attack people. They just stand there on the ice or walk around, and people shot them and shot them and shot them.
What about international laws? Is hunting them legal?
It's legal in Canada. It's not legal in the United States. Hunting them differs in some cases from shooting them. There are variances allowed to oil drillers in Alaska, thanks to our dear friend Sarah Palin. There are allowances for shooting polar bears if, even though they're on the threatened species list, if they interfere with oil drillers. So you can actually shoot them in America.
Well, Sarah Palin and others claim their numbers have been rising. In fact, she says they could be at a historic high.
I don't think we need to dignify Sarah Palin's analysis of correctness or truth at this point. Sarah Palin, in that case, is dead wrong.
There are some people who say that sport hunting has increased the polar bear population, or at least it keeps it under control in the same way that deer hunting does for the deer.
The polar bear population doesn't need to be kept under control. It's plummeting. And the last thing we need to do is justify shooting some more of them with some idea that that's going to make them procreate faster.
And you said that it's legal to shoot them in Canada. Canada is where most of the polar bear live, isn't
it? No, actually, well, yes, indeed, most of them live in Canada, but there are other countries that have large polar bear populations. Russia, for one, with that northern coastline, which is the longest east-west coastline in the world. There are a lot of polar bears in the Russian Arctic. There are a lot of polar bears in Canada. There are a lot of polar bears in Greenland. So there are polar bears everywhere that the Arctic Ocean touches.
There also has been quite a bit of dispute over who owns what part of the Arctic. Has that affected the polar bears?
Probably not. It has affected polar bears only insofar as countries claim mineral rights in various offshore areas of the Arctic, and claiming these mineral rights or actually drilling for oil there does impact the polar bears.
Now, the United States has been pressing for a global ban on trade in polar bears. When did that begin?
Well, it actually began in 1972 when the polar bear was listed under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which was passed actually to protect dolphins that were being killed in the tuna fishery in the eastern tropical Pacific. But it included other marine mammals, and they classified the polar bear as a marine mammal, and therefore you cannot, according to the Marine Mammal Act, you cannot impact polar bears in American waters or in American territory.
Aren't the Inuit excluded from those rules?
Yes, they are. They are excluded because they largely subsist on hunting in those areas, and polar bears are one of among the animals that they hunt.
You talked about the shrinking environment for them. Was this situation addressed during the recent climate talks in Copenhagen?
Were polar bears addressed? Probably not. I have been asked any number of times during and before Copenhagen, what did I think was going to happen insofar as polar bears were concerned? And I was pessimistic, at least pessimistic, and it turned out that I was correct. Not only did they not address the problem of polar bears, they didn't even address the problem of global warming or greenhouse gases. They got to the point where they said, we're going to have a meeting to discuss when we're going to have another meeting to discuss the next meeting.
And who's to blame for the problems that we're facing right now?
I'm not sure blame is the right word, but I think the responsibility for the problem that we're in, the problem being global warming, polar bears are only a small part of that, but the problem being global warming, the responsibility for that lies with the American populace or the American Congress in not recognizing that this was a real problem that is only getting worse.
If I wanted to shoot a polar bear, are there ways I could do that? Is there polar bear tourism?
Yeah, you could go to Wasilla, Sarah Palin's hometown, and you could hire something called Polar Bear Safari. They would take you into Canada. It would probably cost you $50,000, and they put you down on the ice somewhere, and there off in the distance there'd be a polar bear minding its own business, and you, as the brave heroic hunter, would shoot this bear that never even knew you were there, but then you couldn't bring any part of it back into the United States. The best you could hope for was a photograph of you on top of the dead bear with your rifle raised in triumph.
What about the town of Churchill? Isn't that called the polar bear capital of the world?
Yeah, but they don't shoot them there. What they do is they go out in tundra buggies on the tundra before Hudson Bay freezes. This is just about the southernmost population of polar bears in the world, and the only polar bears that you can see fairly easily. So you and I could go up to Churchill. We can fly directly there from Montreal. I did that last year. And you go out in these tundra buggies, which look very much like a bus on airplane tires. And from the windows of the tundra buggy, you see lots and lots of polar bears kind of just standing around or sometimes wrestling or sleeping prior to the ice freezing on Hudson Bay when they all go out and hunt seals.
How do polar bears fare in captivity? I remember a bunch in the Prospect Park Zoo. They didn't have ice.
Park Zoo is one of the two New York zoos where polar bears killed somebody. How do they fare? They fare well enough for the public. Do they fare well enough for the bears? Probably not, because polar bears have this huge range that they cover. Putting them in a small enclosure, regardless of how many pools you put there or rocks or fake ice, is bad for them. And polar bears, largely in captivity, walk around and around and around in circles.
Well, do you think that the popularity of bear cubs like Knut are good for the species?
I think it raises the consciousness of people about polar bears. Knut, everybody fell in love with Knut in Germany. I have now seen a video recently of what Knut looks like now. He's a big, foul-tempered, full-grown, brown for some reason, or dirty, polar bear. And all the charm that Knut had that actually put him on the cover, just the bear, on the cover of Vanity Fair, is gone. And this is a big bear now, and people love polar bears. They love them because they're so cute as babies. They love them because they are the icon for our times, the icon for global warming. Has this saved the bear? Probably not.
Now, I regularly receive email from people who say that we've overblown the whole situation of global warming. What percentage of the ice sheet in the Arctic has already disappeared?
60%.
60?
60.
Wow. Is that sped up in recent years, 2006?
It has to speed up. If you think about it in purely practical terms, the more open water there is, as the ice melts, more open water appears. The more open water there is, the more sunlight hits the open water and is not reflected from the ice. The more sunlight hits the water, the warmer the water gets. The warmer the water gets, the more the ice melts.
So polar bears are, I'm sure, are expanding the area that they're covering looking for food.
Right. And if they expand their area too far, what happens naturally is people shoot them. If they come anywhere near where there are human beings, two polar bears apparently, separately, came over from Greenland to Iceland, probably on an ice floe. It's about 250 miles. That's even beyond a polar bear's swimming ability. And as soon as they landed in Iceland, people became terrified of polar bears in Iceland, and they shot them. But polar bears are not going to adapt to the disappearing ice by becoming brown bears and feeding on roots and berries. They're not good at feeding on roots and berries. They need meat.
Is there anything that listeners can do to help protect polar bears?
I don't think so. When I started on this career sort of saving the oceans one species at a time, I began with whales, and then I went to sharks and seals and sea lions and tuna, various other creatures, and there was always something I thought people could do. There was always somebody you could send money to or support some organization. But I don't think that the polar bear can be saved at this point. It's not going to disappear in our lifetime. But we're going to see the disappearance of our grandchildren will see the disappearance of wild polar bears.
Richard Ellis is the author of more than a dozen books. He's also a celebrated marine artist whose paintings have been exhibited in museums and galleries around the world. His latest, On Thin Ice, published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Leonard.